105.7 The Hawk, classic rock for the Jersey Shore. Welcome to the Barnabas Health High School Football Show, live from the Water Street Bar and Grill in Toms River, and powered by Community, Kimball, and Monmouth Medical Centers. Kevin Williams, Ed Sarluka, and Matt Harmon talk Shore Conference High School Football on the Shore Sports Network, 105.7 The Hawk and 105.7thehawk.com.
And a good Thursday evening, everyone, live from Baker's Water Street Grill on the Toms River in downtown Toms River. It's week two of the Barnabas Health High School Football Show. Kevin Williams, Ed Sarluka, Matt Harmon here broadcasting till 8:30 tonight with a variety of guests on location as well as on the phone joining us as we talk high school football after the opening weekend of action and getting ready for week two on what looks like just a marvelous weekend for the second week of games, both Friday night and hopefully into Saturday as well. Big night, of course, for football here at Baker's Water Street Grill. You have Rutgers in South Florida and a Big East game coming up in just a little bit. And then, of course, the first of the now regularly scheduled Thursday night NFL games. One of the great rivalries in the league, Bears-Packers in Green Bay tonight. Of course, you can catch it all here on their many TVs throughout the bar and restaurant. And, of course, for those of you who actually care, there's also baseball as well, Yankees-Red Sox.
Just come on. That's a big one with Baltimore winning again in extra innings.
We're not talking any baseball tonight. That was it. That covered the gamut of it. That's finished for the evening. But certainly plenty of high school football. As I say, good evening to my broadcasting colleagues, Ed and Matt, as we get set for the second weekend. Matt was not with us last week on special assignment. See, I've created the special assignment when you're not here. We're going to leave it like that. Ed was trying to probe
what that actually means, Matt.
I told him that's...
we'll talk about it off-air.
That's an off-air conversation. But, Matt, we are set for the second week. And your thoughts as we look back to the opener a week ago, there were a couple of surprises. I don't know if there was you'd call it a stunning weekend, but certainly there were a couple of things that might have caught people off guard.
Yeah, I think overall a pretty good first week. As you said, not really a ton of surprises. There were some good games, for sure. Rumson and Shore, Central, Toms River South, who we will have our Brick Memorial game, was pretty good for a half and then kind of turned around in the second half as the Mustangs dominated that one. Long Branch and Manasquan, a good game. And, I think overall probably as good a first week as most teams were expecting. And, again, I don't really think there was that big week one shocker that maybe we've had in years past.
Well, I think there was one big shocker, and that was Barnegat getting shut out 21-0. I mean, last week, Matt, again, not being here, everybody on the panel, Scott Stump, Steve Falk, and myself, picked Barnegat to be that other team to jump to the top 10 with a couple of wins. Everybody expected them to win that football game, but hey, Homedale, and we'll hear it live in a little while as Frank Papaleo will join us here, pulled the stunner, shut out. Not only did they win, but they shut him out pretty convincingly, 21-0.
Let's set the lineup for tonight's guest. We'll start in just a few minutes. We'll talk a little Jackson Liberty football with head coach Tim Osborne and his senior quarterback Bob Davies. Following that, it will be Homedale coach Frank Papaleo, who's a guy who lives down in this area, so works well for him on his way home for practice after that big win. We'll chat with Central Region. I don't think we've ever had a kicker as a guest, but we just kind of thought it'd be a little neat thing because you had Central beating Toms River South last week on a field goal on the final play of the game by Austin DeRose. So we're gonna talk to Austin and sort of get in the mindset of a kicker a little bit.
Well, I agree with you that we have never had a kicker, but I guarantee you,
I know you're gonna
we
say
will have another kicker.
Yes, we will.
Before this season is over, mm-hmm. And that'll be Chris Gula from Toms River North, who is a Division I prospect being recruited by just about every big-time school in the country.
But he will be the second kicker on this year no matter what.
That's
so he's
right.
Got to wait. We'll also chat along the way tonight with Monmouth University football coach Kevin Callahan. Big win for the Hawks last week in their home opener. Of course, Scott Stump from ShoreSportsNetwork.com and All Shore Media, and Dr. Lawrence DeRoche from Community Medical Center. We'll touch on what has become a big thing in especially involving football these days, and that is concussions, and it's almost become an epidemic on all levels levels. We'll talk about that. That sets the lineup for tonight. And, you know, I think, Matt, Ed did point out the one that probably surprised most, and I think everyone would have picked Barnegat in that game. And we'll save most of that discussion because, again, Frank Papalia will join us. But outside of that, I thought the game that probably was the one that has the most significance was Rumson-Shore, a game that Shore led a good portion of the way. Rumson, with speaking of field goals, with a pair of field goals to come back from a 10-7 deficit and win that one 13-10. That was a big, big win for the Purple Bulldogs.
Well, and I think big because obviously what Rumson has done the last couple of years is establish themselves as a program, and even though not division rivals anymore like they had been for so many years, you know, it was Rumson and Asbury Park in that kind of smaller division, and then the Bulldogs moved up into Class A Central and Shore among the teams that were left behind, but that's always been a rivalry to play it in week one. I thought it was certainly a big game for Rumson. I'm sure extremely disappointed with letting a lead slip away. When you're up 10-0, especially on the road, you know, you got to figure out a way to get that and pull a bit of an upset. But I think one of those games for Rumson that, you know, as the season goes on and if they continue to get better, they'll look back at that as a good opening week challenge. But things for them don't get any easier this week with St. John Vianney, who has some pretty good weapons.
Yeah, that was another big surprise. Again, not that they won, but put up 41 points, shut out their opponent. You know, which was Mondon, who we spoke of last week as another one of those teams ready to make the jump to a good season. But that was a stunner for everybody listening last week. And it seems like they have a lot of talent. And as you said, Matt, not easy. They come right back with St. John Vianney, Rumson. And by the way, Shore, now 0-1, comes right back into the fire against Asbury Park. So not an easy schedule for the Devils.
Asbury, who had an impressive opening week win on the new turf up there in Asbury Park, beating Keyport, a longtime rival, 36-7. The opening week, only three conference games in week one. We mentioned Asbury, Keyport. Also in that conference, you had Keensburg and Modern Day, and then the other one was Brick Memorial. That was it. Three conference games on week one. We did the Brick Memorial game. The final score made it look like a convincing Brick Memorial win. I think we did the game, so I think you guys will agree. It was a very strange game.
Very strange.
For as many points as Brick Memorial put up, they were actually outgained for the game and didn't really maintain any kind of consistent offensive attack. But they took advantage of some turnovers, made some big plays, and were able to pull away in that game late in the second half.
Yeah, I think defensively the Mustangs played very well, only giving up really one score. The second score by Brick early in the first quarter was a pick six thrown by Ryan Saplinski. But, they had something like 8 sacks in that football game and dominated from that point on with put on many pretty big licks on the new quarterback, Joe Phillips. Brick, I think, will be heard from, like we mentioned quite a few times, if they could keep Phillips healthy throughout the course of the year. He's a young-looking sophomore, but very quick on his feet. Brick Memorial, meanwhile, has to hone up on their offense. I think they got to make some adjustments in their offense. Quite a few penalties hurt the Mustangs offensively, and got to get their offense moving a little bit better than they did last Friday.
Three new coaches, Matt, in the Shore last week made their head coaching debut. John Kay of Mattawan gets a win. Losses for Nick Gregorio of Wall and Derek Reichenbacher of Howell. Big-time losses for both those teams. So, 1-2 for the new guys.
Well, it's never easy when you take over programs. And I'm sure you guys talked about it last week on the show. All of those coaches taking over pretty experienced and pretty well-known programs. I know
exactly.
in Wall's case, as a resident and a former player there, very, very close with Chris Barnes in his decade plus of being a Crimson Knight head coach. I mean, they're basically not only starting over with a new coach, they're starting over with almost a brand new team. I mean, that team last year was heavy senior laden, so that's kind of like a double whammy. If you're a new coach and you have nobody really coming back, you got to figure it out a little bit.
All right, so let me ask you this. Week one is in the books. And of course, the game of football different really from any of the other sports because really that's more than 10% of your season in some cases. So it's not like, well, it's only a game.
Yeah.
You know, you lose week one, it's not suicide. Week two, it is. You're 0-2. It's a heck of a big hill in most places to climb out of. So the thing you hear on the college level and on the pro level, and I think in college more than anything else, is teams make their greatest improvement from game one to game two. Ed, you coached for a long time. Matt, you played this game. Does that also pertain to the high school game?
Well, I don't know if it does that much in high school, you know, but I do know that you do not want to be 0-2. That's for sure, you know, for a lot of these schools, and I mean talking about good programs, you know, they've got to try and fight that. You know, they've got to try and get the W. You don't want to go into week three being 0-2 because, as you said, the high school season goes by so quickly.
Yeah, I mean, the difference, and actually when I spoke with Coach Callahan this past week on Tuesday, he and I do a show from up in Monmouth County. We said the exact same thing. He is among those who believe the biggest improvement of a team is week one to week two. And I think in Mama's case, you saw that. Mm. And on the high school scene, I would say that it's the same. And I think even more important because there's less games that you're playing. So being 0-2 does not set the stage for a very good season. The only thing I would say about that, as opposed to years past, because the state playoffs have expanded a little bit at 0-2, you're still alive if you can get on a roll. I mean, I think this year, unlike maybe years past, we'll see teams at 4-4 and 5-3 that will make the playoffs.
Well, Matt, remember, you do not have to be .500 this year. The field will be 8 teams, so it's possible that you could be 3-5 and still get in, depending on quality points and who you lost to.
Yeah, I don't think we'll see many of those because I think teams will at least be .500. But in some of those lower-level brackets,
exactly,
we might have a team that sneaks in. So if you can kind of keep your head above water, I think ultimately you could at least have something to play for later in the season.
And while the playoffs are always a goal, I don't think anyone starts the season with the hopes of being 3-5 or 4-4 and getting into the playoffs. So if you're 0-2, really the chances of having a very good season have taken a big step backwards. I mean, you can still turn it around and maybe have a respectable year, and yes, maybe even get one of those low playoff spots, but at 0-2, it's going to be hard to have a very good season. Now, of course, in most cases, teams are going to play their first division game or conference game this weekend for most of the teams in the Shore. So if you lose that one, you'd only be 0-1 in the conference. But again, I think, again, the nature of football, each game, there is so much importance in each game. It is absolutely amazing.
Well, I think what we'd have to do is you'd have to look at teams that will be 0-2 after this weekend, because we'll have some of them.
Yeah,
we'll have
absolutely
teams that'll be 0-2. And I have one team that's kind of in my head. Sure, they played Rumson, and then if you lose to Asbury Park, you're 0-2. Doesn't mean you're a bad football team.
Not at all.
But if you're the coaches, you've got to be able to rally your guys and say, hey, look at the teams that we've played already, and then how does the schedule set up for them the remaining part of the year? It'll be basically division games against teams like Keensburg, Point Beach, Keyport, and Modern Day, at all very winnable games for them, even if they are 0-2.
Now, we should throw in, before we bring in our first guest, there was actually a development today regarding the weekend, and it is one that I think we've said we can't recall before involving football. It's probably more commonly known with wrestling, and that is Ocean has forfeited its game with Neptune on Saturday because of an outbreak of impetigo that has broken out involving the Ocean football program. Now, I was in communication via email with the superintendent of schools, and he told me of the 48 players, JV and varsity, 6 were found, were diagnosed with the skin irritation earlier in the week. However, what they basically done is shut the program down the entire – no, he had it the right way. Oh, you're giving him the wrong way there.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, you had it the right way the first time. There you go. 6 of the 48 players were found to, during an examination by the school nurse and by doctors, were found to have impetigo. But what they did was they shut the program down entirely for the week. They had to clean all the equipment, scrub all the showers, anything that anyone could have been near. I believe the plan is for the players who have been cleared to go back to practice tomorrow, but they have not practiced this week, which means there's no way they can play this weekend against Neptune. Unfortunately, those two teams don't have the same bye week. There's no other way to play that game, so Ocean actually has had to forfeit. It'll go down as a loss. It'll be treated like a loss for them. So after winning their opener last week over Manchester, they will now be 1-1. Neptune, who won their opener last week, will get a 2-0 start and a week off to get ready for game three. And that's not good.
Best
By the
case.
Way, that's not even good for Neptune because you don't want to lose games early in the year.
Right, because remember, Neptune will have a bye later on in the season.
That's correct.
So that's two bye weeks. You know, you want to keep the momentum
Absolutely.
Going. You know, they won impressively 41-13 in week one. As a matter of fact, the Big Three, which I think we'll call them all year, the Big Three, Neptune, RBC, and Manalapan are, you know, just about everybody's top three teams, all won very impressively and look to make it 2-0 this week. But let's hope for Ocean's sake it's only 1 week, you know. They got a game with Matawan next week scheduled, so let's hope that they could get back to practicing and get the kids back and healthy.
All right, so that's the story. So Ocean, Neptune, Saturday, that game is off. It'll be a forfeit, and Neptune will get the win, and Ocean will get the loss. And hopefully, Ocean will be at full tilt for their game the following week against the pretty good Matawan team. Time will tell on that. Our opening guest tonight with us from Baker's Water Street Grill in Tom's River, a pair of Jackson Liberty Lions, their head coach Tim Osborne, and his senior quarterback Bob Davies, the Lions opening up last week with a 21-6 win over Wall. Our guest tonight, the senior quarterback, throwing for 147 yards and a touchdown, and a couple of touchdowns, two touchdowns,
yes,
I believe two interceptions, too.
We don't like to talk about that.
We'll save those for later. There's your quarterback.
But, yeah.
We'll bring in the coach first. And, you know, Tim, we talk about the importance in football more than any other sport, about it, how every game is so significant. And, you know, I'm sure opening day, you know, this is the one that you've geared up for. You've gotten the kids ready for. Everyone's looking at it. The difference between winning your opener and losing your opener can set a tone for an entire season.
Oh, yeah, it's definitely a much better feeling. You're going in against a team like Wall, not knowing what to expect with a new system going in, but they were still Wall kids, extremely tough. And our guys that are inexperienced guys especially came out and really stepped up right from the first series. We had an interception to start the game for a touchdown. That really got us going, and we got the ball back. We went deep first play, and Bob laid it out there perfect to Danny Nyblack, and it really set the tone and got us going throughout the whole night.
You know, Tim, that's an interesting scenario you laid out about a new coach and a new program, because that's basically what he is doing now, taking over for Chris Barnes. How, you know, coaches like to stack up files, from past seasons, and basically they do the same thing year in and year out. How different was it to go into that first game against a new system and a new coach?
It's exactly right. You know, we have our files, and when you look back for 10 years, you knew what you were going to get from Wall.
They were
going to be in the
right.
I formation. They were going to try to pound you and be in a 4-3 cover two. And they still played pretty much the same defense, but it's a completely different offense. And our coaching staff did a good job getting out to the scrimmages, so we had an idea what to expect. But still, it's the first night. You don't know if he's got something else that we haven't seen yet, and our kids, they bought into what we're trying to do, and they were very well prepared, and they did a great job. The kids really stepped up.
Bob, that's where the coaching staff has to help out, right? Because it's on-field adjustments, and I'm sure you made a few during the course of the game. Tell us about them.
Well, I think the biggest adjustment we made offensively was we expected their ends to rush upfield for the entire week. We practiced that way. We put our whole game plan in that way, and we get out there on the field, and their ends are crashing, and they're stopping our power the whole time. So we adjusted well to that, and we started going on more wide set power plays and our G play and getting those ends, you know, really washed down instead of kicking them out.
I'm always wondering about what the nerves are like for that first game, maybe more than any other. I mean, you've practiced all summer, you know, and then you practice every day, and then, first week at school and all that. You're a senior, so opening day, it's your last opening day as a high school football player. So tell me what it's like for you, like when you're out there and you're going out for warm-ups, and then is that, you know, the opening kickoff.
It's incredibly exciting the day after, because leading up to it, you've got all your nerves going the night before. I know especially for me it sets in the night before, and then the closer and closer the game gets, the less the nerves are really a factor. They start to kind of fade away. And you start to realize how prepared you are for the game and how ready you are to go, and that it's just another football game. So by the time you step out on the field against the other team, you know, all your nerves are gone and you're ready to go. So the next day, I think it really hits you that it's your last, you know, your last first game, your last home opener. But when you're going into the game, you're really just expecting, you know, any other football game.
And as a quarterback, is there Is there so much information racing through your mind as you basically come out of the huddle for the first play? I mean, like, or are you just focused on what, each play one at a time?
Well, you got to take it one at a time. You know, the most important play is always the next play. And if you start getting too far ahead of yourself, then you're going to find yourself in a bad situation. So the most important thing you can do is focus on what you can control for that specific play and then get ready to line up and go for the next one.
Tim, tell us a little bit about the 2012 Jackson Liberty football team. What do you have to do well to get that first winning season? You've been 500 a couple of times. I know you'd like to get over the hump there. And, of course, bottom line, try to get into the playoffs.
Well, first of all, we really feel we have a good group of kids. They're very enjoyable. And as I said earlier, they're really buying into what we're trying to do on both sides of the ball. And we don't have outstanding talent, but we have a group of kids that do what they're told to do, and they do it right all the time. They kind of remind me of some of the teams I had at Brick in the 80s when I coached there at Brick, where we didn't have the biggest or the strongest or the fastest, but they did everything right. And that's the things we've been trying to strive since we've been at Liberty. And I think this group of kids really seem to be doing it. Like I said, we might not have the pure raw talent that we had last year in some positions, but we have kids that are really executing what we're trying to do.
Mention some of those kids you're going to depend on this year besides your quarterback here, Bob.
Like I said, we got our quarterback. We have a couple of good receivers, Dan Nyblack and Matt Castanova and Mike Casado, that people don't know much about. Mike is a returning starter. He played in the secondary last year. He's doing a good job at receiver for us, but Dan Nyblack and Matt Castanova are two names I think people around the shore really have to get to know. Matt's a sophomore that we brought up last year as a freshman. He did a good job as a freshman. He's really stepped up, even in his leadership capacity as a sophomore. And Danny is one of those kids that does have a lot of raw talent, hasn't played football a whole lot, but he's about 6'2". He can run and he can jump out of the building, and he's doing a good job playing receiver. Up front, we have some returning starters on the offensive line, Chris Cruz and Corey Fulzer. Chris is just a natural leader. You know, he wants to be a Marine, and he takes he takes charge. Him and Bob both. Bob does a great job as a leader. I like the kid Bob, that he's so hard on the kids that they hate him more than me sometimes. but we have some good leadership, and people are following that leadership, and I think that's going to be a big key to this season.
Bob, is leadership on a football field something that you just did naturally, or is it something your coaches instilled that you needed to be?
It was something that I've done for my whole life. I mean, I remember being out on the Little League field, and I would always be the one, you know, talking it up and getting everybody going and trying to keep the team focused, even though we were a bunch of six-year-olds running around on a baseball field. And then as we got older and we got into high school, it really just transferred so naturally that it never even occurred to me that I was doing these things, because it was just so natural. It was what I'd always done. So I think it's not something that you really can instill in someone. I think if you're a leader, you're born a leader, or you're not a leader. And if you try and instill it in someone, then you're going to end up going down a bad path.
All right, let me ask you this a little bit about the game plan. Now, mm-hmm. knowing Coach Osborne's background, mm-hmm. going back to his Brick days,
okay.
He's accustomed to running the football.
Yeah.
You had a very good senior last year, Billups, who was an outstanding rusher. I think was he a 1,000-yard guy, Timmy?
Yeah, about 1,500.
Yeah, 1,500 yards. You're a quarterback. Quarterbacks usually like to throw the football. Are you guys on the same page with the game plan?
Yeah, you know, I mean, I don't get a lot of say in it, so we have to be on the same page. I'd like to throw it up in the air about 35 times a game.
Of course
but
you would.
I realize that's not the reality. I mean, I look at our offense, and I see the positions we're strong at and the positions that maybe we're not as strong at, and it's hard to find those positions that we're not as strong at, because even though we don't have outstanding athletes everywhere, we have solid guys who can get the job done at every position that you look at. And we have a team that, depending on what the defense gives us, we can run the ball or we can throw the ball. So I don't think we're necessarily going into a game with a game plan of we want to run the football, you know, 45 times and throw it 5, because if the defense adjusts to it, then maybe we end up throwing it 15 and running it, you know, 20 as opposed to 45 and 5 or 35 and 10 or whatever the case may be.
Tim, let's talk about the Golden Eagles of Central Regional, the opponent tomorrow night. Tell us a little bit about the Central team.
Well, as you know, they've gotten progressively better the last couple of years. They had a good season last year, and I think that's carried over. They have some very good athletes in the skill positions, and they have a couple of linemen back. They played a very tough Tonsborough South team. Tonsborough South is a very good football team, very well coached. And as the game went on, they were able to take control. And, you know, we're very scared about their speed. We're very scared about their athleticism. And we're hoping that we're going to be in the right spots all night and be able to control that.
They did beat South 29-26 on a last play field goal, right, by Austin DeRose, who is going to be here tonight pretty soon, so maybe you stick around and throw something in his hamburger or something.
Yeah, tripping, walking down the steps.
But anyway, Tim, they've moved their quarterback, Javon Hardy, who was Khalif's cousin, I believe, right? Last year.
Khalif Hardy, who was a 2,000-yard rusher.
They moved him from quarterback to the running back position. Big difference?
Yeah, I mean, he'll line up in both positions, and it seemed to be last week he played some quarterback in the second half when they got things moving. But, you know, he's Khalif Hardy's cousin, and he has very similar athletic ability, so when the ball's in his hands, it's scary, and we're going to have to try to contain him.
We're talking with Jackson Liberty head coach Tim Osborne, his senior quarterback Bob Davies. The Lions opening up last week with a 21-6 win over Wall. We'll visit Central tomorrow in their Class B South opener. And, Coach, if we can spend a minute here on Class B South, because it's interesting. I know there were no conference games last weekend, but maybe there was a little bit of the earth shaking with a couple of the results of teams in your division. I think the consensus was, and whether you agree with us or not, but among us in the media, what do we know, that probably Barnegat rated the role of favorite. And there were a lot of people that kind of thought Monsignor Donovan was maybe that next team. Now, I think you in your preseason comments thought Donovan might be the team to beat. Now, again, non-conference games, but Barnegat gets shut out by Holmdel 21-0, and Mondon gets manhandled by St. John Vianney 4-0. Does that change the Class B South landscape a little bit, and does it make teams like yours, not necessarily the coaches, but does it maybe give the players like, hey, you know what? This could be our division this year.
Well, you know, you look at what happened. Like I said, going into the preseason, I felt Monsignor Donovan was going to be the best team in the division, and I thought Barnegat was right there with them. Now, they did go in their first game. You know, sometimes first games things go wrong, and it can snowball very quickly, and they played non-division games. I think before we start playing division games this weekend, you know, we got to see what's going to happen this week before we make a decision on, you know, who the favorite is and who's going to be an also-ran. I mean, we're going into the season thinking it's our division. What happened last week doesn't change that. We go into every game week to week hoping to win or thinking we're going to win. And, you know, you read the preseason polls and you come up with your own opinions or you say certain things. But as far as the division, you know, we have a goal to win that division. That's one of our goals, and that hasn't changed based on what happened last week.
Well, Tim, I can't let you go without asking you about the summer, okay?
I know
you feel like, you know, maybe it's a second chance at life because you had a very life-threatening accident this summer. Tell our listeners a little bit about it.
Yeah, well, I was in a bad car accident June 28th and spent some time in the hospital, about 9 days in the hospital. Had some serious injuries. And I got out of the hospital, I guess, July 5th. And, you know, like you said, you get a second chance at things. You get a little bit different perspective on things. But we did have our, you know, I was supposed to actually stay out till September 1st. And I guess we had a meeting July 6th.
Yeah, just
and,
about.
And I told the boys, you know, a lot of times when people have a life-changing event like this, they change their attitude. But don't expect me to be any different. And I don't think I have been. If anything, maybe.
So let's let Bob answer
it's
that question.
It's not a kinder, gentler Coach Osborne?
If anything, it's gotten worse. Because now we have no excuse. He's walking around with a broken fibula and whatnot, and we have no excuse for not being out there and giving 100%.
There you
so
go.
If anything, he's just gotten harder and harder on us.
I guess you found out the hard way. He's a pretty tough guy.
Oh, yeah. We found out right away from freshman year.
Well, you know, trooper experience will do it, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, you like this team, though, Coach, don't
yeah,
you?
Yeah, really, I'm really enjoying working. You know, some of that might be because, like I said, I have a second chance of thing, and I always look forward to football season, but even more so after what went on this summer. I couldn't wait to get started, and it's a good group of kids, and we're really enjoying it.
Let me just ask you this. Give it, at least throw out some of your assistant coaches, because especially with, you know, I'm sure you needed guys to pick up the ball a little bit this summer while you were laid up. The guy, you know, the staff really came through for you. Talk about those guys a little bit.
We really have a good staff on the defensive side. We have Jim Sharples now, his second year running the defense. Frank Giannetti has been with me back since we were at North together. Then we have two young guys, Ryan Hessenden, who played at Brick, and Aaron West, who played at times with North with us, and they're doing a real good job. And then on the offensive side, we have Anthony Myers, who played for me at North. We have two new coaches on the offense, Greg Elias, who's come over, and Paul Zambito. It's nice to have Paul on the staff because finally I got somebody older than me out there because he's been doing this about 35 years now, so it's nice to have somebody a little bit older than me.
Well, again, good start for you. I know if you lose Friday night, that start will mean nothing. But obviously what you're trying to do is build on a 2-0 start. You've got Central and then Manchester back-to-back on the road, and then three straight home games. I'm sure for you, especially as a senior quarterback, you'd love to be 3-0 going into week four.
Oh, absolutely. That would be unbelievable, going 3-0 into our game against Barnegat at home. You know, it's a big game. Everybody's had that down as a pivotal game for us this season, because that's really the game where we can decide if we can really take a stranglehold on the division that we're hoping to win this year or not. So coming into there 3-0 would be absolutely unbelievable for us.
Well, I appreciate both of you guys coming down tonight. It was a great chance to talk to you. Tim, good to see you moving
around.
Thanks for
having us. Thanks for having us. You guys do a great job.
And have a great season. Tim Osborne, the head coach of the Jackson Liberty Lions, his senior quarterback Bob Davies. We'll come back after this quick break. We'll talk Homedale Hornets football with their coach Frank Papali after this. You're listening to the Barnabas Health High School Football Show on 105.7 The Hawk.